Tony, your vice chair and Jim had informed me that he may be late because he works for probation and he's been very busy.
Yeah. Haven't we all?
So hopefully he'll walk in any moment. We do have a quorum.
Steve's coming down.
Steve said that he might come down. He's not on JPA 1, but he said he might come down just to visit.
Yeah, he told me he was coming, so I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you did make it then.
Yeah.
Here comes Jim.
Jim? Okay. Well, we can hold off for just a moment then.
Yeah. I work till 6:30 tonight. Yeah. And I was going to ask if I could get off early, but I'm on the boss's shit list.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to do that.
Kind of didn't think he would let me, and then somebody called in sick, and I got the early shift. So I couldn't call you and tell you yay or nay. There was no knowing.
That's okay.
So
yeah. Is he locked out?
No, he came in.
Went to the bathroom.
Went to the restroom.
Oh, okay.
So the Tama County Sanitary Landfill Agency, five of us down here at the bottom are JPA 1.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't put those in. I should put those in asterisks, huh?
No. I'm still trying to get them.
I know. And we had the biggest switch in board members since I've been with the agency in this past year. So even for me, when somebody asks me who's on JPA 1 and who's on, not so much JPA 1 and JPA 2, the full board, but when somebody asks me who is on the executive committee, because we haven't been meeting so much because the full board has been meeting, I was dumbfounded.
So
I'm going to have to go back and look at my notes.
Is the full board?
Yes, that's the full board. It's all 10 members. That's all 5 Red Bluff City Council members and all 5 Board of Supervisors.
And Wayne is in Washington, D.C.
Till November, mid-November, so.
He posted the other day he was in there.
Everyone's here.
I am.
Hi.
So Shit is going to be here.
Yep. We will start the meeting at 6:03. Anyone for public comments? No one. Moving to number 3, regular items A, minute, recommend approval of minutes on page 3.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Number 2, or B, warrant register number 1, grant funded warrant September 2013. Recommend approval as stated in the agenda found on page 6.
Mm-hmm. So moved.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
There's some DBAs, if you'd like me to clarify who they are for it, I'm more than happy to. These are warrants going back to June 18th. So the June 18th charge for Dennis Lice, that's for LRT graphics. That's for them to design the bus wrap.
I lost you.
I'm on page 7.
There we go.
Sorry about that. And then moving down, Thomas Huth, that's KBLF. That's Cal Hunter's advertising. We do used oil advertising with Cal Hunter. And we'll soon be doing other advertising for proper hazardous waste disposal, fluorescence, and batteries with KBLF as well. And then moving down to 8:30.
Can we do that in Spanish also?
Not on his station, but we do Spanish language radio advertising as well. That you'll see the charge further down. It's I'm not seeing the gentleman's name offhand.
I just saw it.
Jesus Salas.
Yeah.
That's the Spanish language newspaper and the Spanish language radio advertising. Gary Mitchell is on 8:30 and 8:02. That's for the storage space that we rent at Antelope Storage. Let's see. I guess that answers them all. If I missed any, let me know that you have a question about. Eco Solutions is for the management of the hazardous waste facility.
Any further discussion? We have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Number two, the non-grant funded warrants. Recommended approval as spelled out in the agenda.
Anything earth-shattering there?
There's nothing earth-shattering. The only thing that is a large payment that might catch you by surprise is the $33,140.35. That's the annual payment that this agency makes for the methane gas loan. JPA2, our sister agency, holds that loan on this agency's behalf, so we reimburse. Beginning, as I, when I go through the budget,
and
I'll explain it again.
So.
Yes. Right. Yeah, and it's a 0% interest loan, so there's no reason to pay it off early.
Yeah.
All right, so I hear a motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Down to C, budget. First quarter fiscal year 13-14 budget update.
Okay, so I'll have you look on page 12 of your agenda packet. That shows this, the nice spreadsheet that you can look at. So this is as of the looking at the second column. This is as of September 30th, 2013. The only budget adjustment I have is for insurance to move it up to $9,600. Our special liability insurance premiums have gone up significantly. We use Alliant for that in future years if the board so desired. I could get bids for insurance from other entities, but that's consistent with the county insurance policies.
This is liability for
The
anyone in the landfill that might be injured, or any of our trucks or anything that's out and about.
Exactly. For the hazardous waste facility, for the ABOP facility, for the scale house. It also includes liability for the landfill itself. So that moving on, that's for expenses. Everything else is consistent with the initial budget that was proposed. We have received the first two payments of AB 939 fees, and then they're running right at par. This is a transition year because beginning March 1st, 2014 is when the new contract takes effect, and JPA2 will receive funds to fully resolve this agency's funding deficit each year. So it's a wonderful thing to get that resolved. But at that point, I would propose that all of these back and forth payments between the two agencies just stop, since JPA2 holds the loan for the methane gas loan and they'll be receiving the funds. They can make the payment. We don't have to go back and forth.
Right.
Also, with the hazardous waste facility, since they'll be receiving all the funds for the hazardous waste facility, they can expense all the monies, and I don't have to. Right now, what I do is I split each expense that we have between. There's absolutely no reason to. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with AB 939 expenses for personnel. There's no reason for JPA 1 to reimburse JPA 2 for JPA 2's employees' staff time doing AB 939 when JPA 2 will be receiving the money for that. So it'll be a lot more streamlined, easy process. Really, the only things that you will see is grant related for the most part and some minor office expenses, and then we'll still have the insurance and auditing expenses, and we will have the big responsibility of closure of the phase one landfill. That is this agency's responsibility, so keep that in mind.
And we're still thinking we're what,
2016 2017, right. So we're still
so
in that,
we're still 5 or 6 years away, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
When I started in the board in 2002, we were going to do, I think, in 2005.
Yeah, no.
Or something
we were talking
like
about, yeah.
Christina's done an excellent job.
Yeah, it just blows my mind.
So
people crack up when I get all excited about the landfill.
It, You know, for being a rural county and being as small as we are, we have a lot to be proud of with the number of programs that we have in place and the things that we've been able to accomplish. So it's good to promote that, because I think sometimes we get a little down on ourselves. Because it is more challenging being a rural entity. We don't have the population, and we don't have the tax base, and we don't have many other things. So the fact that we're able to be creative, I think, is helpful. So revenue, I didn't change anything from initial budget. So I do recommend that the board approve the revised adjustments to the budget as presented.
Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
I'll second it.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. All right, so, move over to the back of page one, page two, four, regular landfill only, number one, 5-year regional agency integrated waste management plan.
Review report. Yes, and this will be a repeat for three of the four of you, so I apologize in advance. But in your agenda packet, beginning on packet page 15, is the 5-year regional agency integrated waste management plan review report. What that is a 5-year review of our AB 939 programs. And AB 939 is the law that requires jurisdictions to divert 50% of their waste stream. So we created a regional agency, and it is very smart to do so as a small agency. Otherwise, you'd have to have a recycling coordinator in every community. So it's worked out well. But every 5 years, we do have to review our source reduction and recycling element, our household hazardous waste element, and our siting element and summary plan to see if they're still consistent and relevant to today. CalRecycle really no longer wants you to revise these documents. They want you to put any revisions, unless they're huge revisions, like you're building a new landfill or something like that. They want any small changes in program development to be placed in your annual report to the state, rather than revising these documents, primarily because of the cost to do so. So we've been, every year we're required to submit an annual report to the state, and we do that on behalf of the cities and the county each year. It's due in August of each year. The LTF did consider the 5-year regional agency integrated waste management plan review report and did provide some oral comments, nothing in writing, but they did want us to promote our exceptional diversion programs. So we did include that in the report. And so I'll highlight those really quickly. We did implement an agricultural plastics recycling program.
Use our local task force.
Our local task force, actually. So we've struggled with membership in the LTF, but recently, and I'm sad to say that Buck Bordeaux, who was our longest member, he was on the LTF since its inception, has passed away. But I was fortunate to get some of our former JPA 1 board members to join the LTF. So Forrest Flynn, who is a former Red Bluff City Council member, is now on the LTF. Former Supervisor Ron Warner is on the LTF. There's also Betty Morales, who's Red Bluff Chamber. She's a former JPA 1 board member and chair. There's also Bob Christensen from the city of Tehama and former JPA 1 board member as well. And those are the voting members. The non-voting members currently is Amanda Garrett from Green Waste of Tehama.
So theoretically, we need somebody from Corning.
Theoretically, let's see. Yeah.
You don't really have South County. You got.
I have Red Bluff. I have Los Molinos very well, but we don't really have anybody from the South County.
And Tehama.
And we have Tehama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have Bob. So you're right. We have kind of this general area, but we don't have Corning itself. Mm-hmm.
You might think about somebody.
Yeah, okay. You can't sit on it yourself because the LTF provides comments to this agency. I tried to consolidate the two when I was having a really hard time getting participation in the LTF. That's the one role of the LTF is to provide comments on the five-year review every 5 years. So it is sometimes hard to get participation in it because of that. In other communities, they don't have a JPA 1. They just have the LTF, and so there's not as much duplication of effort. To be honest, when I create the LTF agenda, I take the JPA 1 packet and basically copy and paste. But they need to know the same information, so it's at least it's not too much more work. It's just the time to hold the meetings. But yeah, we would love to have somebody from the South County. They meet quarterly. So it's not a huge time expense. And if the LTF ever desired to be more active, I would certainly welcome that if they wanted to assist with volunteering. In some communities, the LTF is more active, but historically our LTF has not been. Okay. So we've also, in calendar year 2012, which this is phenomenal, we recycled 3,882 mattresses, which equates to about 7% of our annual airspace consumption at the landfill.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they take them down here?
Mattresses? Yeah. No, you have to bring them all the way to the landfill. Mm-hmm. These are all, landfill-related program.
You on batteries the other day, it was astronomical.
I know, yeah. Over six tons of batteries in calendar year 2012.
That's just the little ones. That's not car batteries or
truck
batteries.
That's just the AA's, C's, and D's.
It's amazing.
It's phenomenal. Yeah, we recycle more. Alkaline, bring them in the next meeting.
I forgot.
Corning disposal at the recycling center is accepting them now for Corning residents at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
So I'm trying to get the word out for Corning as well. But yeah, it's been a great program. I would love to get City of Corning can't participate in that program because they have waste management, and they ship their recyclables to Lodi, Fresno area. We've talked about with waste management actually having your residents place the bags on top of the recycling bin, so that might be a possibility.
Then the guy would have to get out of the truck.
That's the problem.
Their
trucks are automated.
Yeah, everything's
automated. That's always been the barrier.
Yeah.
But
we just need a collection site, so that would be great down there.
Yeah, Corning Disposal is at least. And I probably could get Hatfields as well. They've been very cordial to work with us. So we've recycled 7.28 tons of carpet from July 2012 to May of 2013. We're getting ready to ship out our second trailer of carpet, actually, which is nice. It's starting to get better. It's been, to be honest, that program's been a lot of work getting it going. I don't know why the mattress program wasn't as bad, but I think because the installers have to, they're used to just shoving the carpet off their truck and leaving, and now we're asking them to put it in a trailer and keep their pads separate from their carpet and keep their tack straps separate, and so I think it's a learning curve, but it's getting better, so that's nice that...
Now, do they roll that when they bring it in, or is it folded?
It's rolled, yeah. And we try to get them to put the pile side out, but it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
So I try to, let's educate you, but we're not going to, break your back for not doing it exactly right. So we're trying to be pretty reasonable with them until they get it figured out. The Smart Business Alliance Commercial Recycling Program now has 9 members. And presentations were given to 24 businesses in 2012. We started a tin recycling program, which resulted in 16.88 tons of tin being recycled from July of 2012 to December of 2012. We have a free large venue event recycling program that's very successful. We've developed curriculum that meets state content standards that's available for teachers, and we also give lessons in school classrooms. We give numerous tours of the landfill. We developed a food waste composting program at the Tehama County Juvenile Hall. We became a recycled market development zone, which I'd like to spend more time marketing. What that does is that businesses that make products out of recycled materials that site in Tehama County can receive really low interest loans. They're currently lower than 4%. And they can. We can also provide free marketing assistance through the state. And so it gives an incentive for businesses to site in Tehama County and create jobs in Tehama County. So it's a perfect blend, I think, of creating jobs and creating markets for materials that might be hard to recycle in Tehama County. We developed a permanent and mobile hazardous products reuse facility that's been very successful as well, and it received a national award, and I've been meaning to actually drop off the award. We want to rotate it around to the different cities to keep the award on their counter, so I'll bring it to Corning. And then we've submitted hundreds of press releases and participated in numerous community events, and I must say that our local papers, specifically the Red Bluff Daily News, have been really good at publishing all of our press releases, whereas in other communities, that's not the case. And so we're very, very fortunate in that regard. We've recycled 6 tons of alkaline batteries as part of our curbside recycling battery program, and we've collected over 2,796 gallons of sharps. As part of our medical waste sharps collection program. And that's also a huge number.
Yeah, we have a lot of diabetics in this county.
Yeah. I can't imagine there's counties that don't have programs.
I know.
We have 63,000 residents. Mm-hmm. You know?
I was in a health spree thing today for preparedness. Mm-hmm. And they're talking that it could be as much as 1 in 6 having diabetes by 2050.
Wow. 2015?
50.
Okay.
So there were six tables in there.
For diabetes.
That meant there was one at every table would be a diabetic.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And then over 90,000 tires were recycled since May of 2000 as part of our tire event recycling program, which has been hugely successful. And I'll go over when our next events are in another agenda item. So I am very proud of the success that we have made. I do not recommend this agency make a determination that we need to review and revise these documents because our work has largely been consistent with the existing plans, and it would cost about $75,000 to revise these documents, and I would rather spend that financial attention to developing new programs rather than creating more documents.
So you need a motion?
So I need a motion, and then I'll submit it to the state.
The staff's recommendation of not revising at this time.
Second.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number two, fiscal year 2013-14 goal information.
Okay, so these goals are for both the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill Management Agency and the Tehama County Sanitary Landfill Agency. These goals were approved by JPA 2 of the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill Management Agency at its October 1st full board meeting. So this is just an informational item. Of course, if you have any suggestions, I'm always welcome to have suggestions. Of particularly interest to this agency is number 5, that we draft the Regional Agency Integrated Waste Management Plan Review Report that you just looked at and reviewed. So that will be completed here shortly. Developing and then moving back up to number 3, developing a timeline of necessary closure events for the phase 1 landfill. I've already actually done it, but it is something that we need to keep an eye on because there are specific steps we have to take within specific time frames with CalRecycle to be in compliance. And we also want to make sure that our contractor for the closure process is well informed of that and has adequate time to to develop the bid specs and all that's necessary. Closure of a landfill is serious business, and one of the things that I plan on doing for this agency is Amador County had to, because of a bad closure job, had to actually reclose a portion of its landfill. And he gave, my colleague in Amador County gave a presentation about what a nightmare it was to have a bad contractor, and I think it would be helpful for this agency to hear that presentation. He won't be here to present it, but I can give you the slides and we can review them as an agenda item for a future meeting, because I think it's something to be cautious about. It ended up costing them, I want to say, upwards of an extra $2 million.
Live and learn. That was good of him to share that with everybody.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that is one of the things, and it really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was different things that happened. There was the landfill was recently closed, and then there was an issue, and one of the public works employees, not knowing, just drove right up onto the active face and ruined the entire cover going up it, and then they had some extreme weather, I believe, and some contractor issues that the state made them redo it.
Yeah,
that's something we don't want to do. So,
now, when that brings up a question, when we do close the landfill and you put cover, is it then going to grow grasses and weeds? And
yeah, so we actually have to plant grasses. On the landfill.
Then part of that notification needs to be that if we have a wildland fire out there, we don't need a fire truck driving up it.
Definitely.
You know, four-wheel drive truck driving up the face of it to put out, chase up.
Until, in the winter months, certainly. Because that will,
Yeah, okay. Well, we're thinking about it.
What is done with the land once it's covered and sealed and grassed?
Yeah, so once
it's kind of like a little parkland, or
in some communities it does, but since we have phase two right next door and we have the MRF and all of the other activities, it will at least in the next 30 years, it will not become a park or something. What this agency can look at, and what I've been doing some preliminary research is to see if we can put some solar panels on top of the landfill and provide some electricity. That's basically the one opportunity we have for that land, other than it just being a big mound.
Yeah.
Grass on it.
It will. And if you look, you can see phase one from Baker Road. I'm familiar with it enough that I know which way to look. And you can see it from Baker, but unless they're filling in that active. But it doesn't, unless they're filling in that active area, it is actually pretty hard to distinguish it from the, you know, the other hillsides. So that's a positive note. I will continue to be chair of the Regional Council of Rural Counties Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority for another year. This is my third year being chair of the TAG. Hopefully, I will
pass it on.
I do enjoy it, but it is.
But you'll stay a member, right?
Oh, I'll always be a member. Okay. The ESJPA, for a small rural solid waste jurisdiction, they provide so much legal assistance, and any new legislation that's coming aboard or regulations, they apprise us on it so we can comment on it and be a stakeholder in that process. Without the ESJP, I know the dues are rather high, but without that process, we would be just at a loss. We would miss out. We would find ourselves out of compliance. It would be a tough situation for a jurisdiction and a solid waste department as small as ours to keep up on our own. So we would like to continue to implement the Smart Business Alliance program and provide outreach to at least 10 new businesses and provide a semi-annual update to the board. We're developing exhibits for our mobile recycling and waste reduction exhibit bus and we'd like to give at least 5 presentations before the end of the fiscal year as part of that. We want to monitor the pilot carpet recycling program to continue its success and provide updates to the board. That's the main concepts. The state is pushing us really to make sure that local jurisdictions are implementing the Green Building Code, at least the waste diversion portion of it. So I've been meeting with local building officials. I met with Terry from the City of Corning, and I've met with Julie and John and Cindy from County Admin regarding the Green Building Code. It requires any new construction project to divert at least 50% of their waste stream. So we're working. I want to make it really simple for the contractors and not be too much of a burden for them.
Right,
so I'd like
yeah.
to really mentor them through that process. I think if we do so, it won't be such a heartache for them. So if you hear any contractors aching about it, please let them know to give me a call and we'll walk them through that.
Okay.
That's next year in a nutshell. I did apply for, since we had we received 2 cycles of Sharps container grants from the state. I didn't need to ask St. Elizabeth Community Hospital to match us. So I instead asked them to match us on funding 2 additional pharmaceutical drug collection events. So we'll see what they say about that. But I did make sure that they knew that in 2 more years, I'm going to need that funding back.
Right, yeah.
So that's kind of where we stand right now with the goals.
Okay, item 3, agency staffing.
So I am sad to say that Bryn left the agency on September 17th, and so I just finished recruiting for the position. We had 16 applicants, and I'm in the middle of reviewing the applicants and hopefully get somebody new on board for the position as soon as possible. It's a hard position in that they have to be able to do outreach, grant reporting, dirty work, and agenda preparation. The dirty work isn't as fun as some people would like, and so I'm trying to find somebody that's balanced that would find that enticing.
Where would Bryn go?
She wants to do some consulting work. So
cool.
We wish her the best.
Item 4, waste tire collection event update.
Mm-hmm. So the last tire event was very successful at Los Molinos Transfer Station, the landfill, and Paynes Creek Transfer Station. We collected 5,696 tires. This was the most heavily utilized event in years, but I think that was partly because last year we didn't hold any events because the grant wasn't offered. The next passenger tire event will be held January 18th at the Mineral Transfer Station, Corning Park and Ride, sorry for that typo, and Evergreen Middle School. And then we will have an agricultural tire collection event the entire month of February, and I'm still looking at finalizing collection locations with an eye of having a South County drop-off. And all.
Question on the mineral one. Mm-hmm. Why a tire event in mineral in January?
Yeah. I would love to close the transfer station in mineral in January, to be honest with you. Or all winter long would be nice. The county operates the transfer stations. It's part of the hauling contract with Waste Connections. So Waste Connections operates the transfer stations there on behalf of the county.
Right.
They don't get a lot of people, but when we don't hold tire events and rotate the locations throughout the county, I get complaints. So that's what we've done.
Well, I can agree, but I'd rather you move that tire event to Corning than to Mineral.
Well, it will be in Corning.
Corning has one, but
it has one.
Just mineral in January.
Yeah. I mean, January 18th, you could have 4 foot of snow on the ground.
Yeah. We typically do 2 sites that we have to man and then 1 site that we don't have to man. So we typically do a transfer station. So, I mean, I could do the Paynes Creek again.
What about Manton rather than mineral?
We could do Manton. Yeah. Would you like to do Manton?
Well, it's. under the snow
it's
line.
It's a little bit lower.
It's below the snow line, and you've actually got more people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I don't have a problem. We can switch it to manned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an unmanned one, right?
Yes. So, yeah.
So it doesn't make a difference to me
between Manton and Mineral at all. No.
Yeah, Mineral mm-hmm. needs to be later in the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, vouchers are required for the disposal of up to 6 tires per property for the agricultural tire collection event. And I will work diligently to find a South County area. And if anybody has any suggestions, that's gated. Because I need to make sure that people aren't dumping tires off in the middle of the night.
Right.
I would be more than willing to take them. Any suggestions for that? It does need to be a considerable amount of space because we're talking ag tires. Probably, I wouldn't expect more than 25, maybe 50 ag tires. And I could possibly have waste tire products come up twice. So they would only need to have the capacity for maybe
still
upwards
of
25 tires.
1 pound out by the canal?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not really
that wouldn't
man.
Be. Uh-huh. It'd be more like Bell Carter parking lot back there, but some space like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have space at the tire shop, but I don't know how that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Not fenced, though.
Yeah, the back fence.
Oh, it is fenced?
Yeah, the back fence.
Do you have enough space?
Oh, yeah. And Will comes up all once a week anyway, so we just have to make sure they aren't, which we get dumped anyway. I mean, it's just.
I think it would be pretty obvious if somebody was dumping an ag tire.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, if you're willing,
I
would be.
Yeah, I have no problem doing
okay.
it there.
Okay.
Because we don't do that many ag tires anyway, so it's
mm-hmm.
not like, yeah. I know we talked about it, and you didn't want tire shops to. Filling in
yeah,
their tires with it.
Yeah, it's hard, yeah.
Yeah.
So we can work through it, though.
But
yeah.
You got an honest guy
mm-hmm.
here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I say, we don't we don't do hardly any farm tires anyway, so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that was fenced back there.
Yeah. Two fences. Ooh. One wasn't enough. They were jumping over that. It was a freeway fence, and it goes along the creek, so
right.
Then we put another one up. Closer in too, the taller ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 5, regional used oil recycling campaign.
Okay, so as part of the second cycle used oil payment program that we closed, that funding cycle June 30th, the agency participated in a regional used oil recycling campaign. A summary of the campaign is attached, and I'm just going to provide a brief summary of it because it's actually a pretty lengthy document. But there was advertisements on many different TV and both cable network and traditional TV stations that are listed in your agenda packet on page 31. A survey was also conducted to identify used motor oil and filter recycling habits. And the survey results are used to identify where further education and outreach is needed. And for the most part, many people don't feel that they need to recycle their filters. And so we will spend some time making sure that we're promoting filter recycling to our residents to make sure that we're capturing that. As far as our own efforts for the used oil program. We've been collecting more oil and more filters every year. This year we collected a lot more filters than in previous
Good.
Years, so I think the word's starting to get out. We're also advertising in Spanish language newsletters and radio ads, and I think that's a large populace of people that are still changing their own motor oil. And we're always trying to identify those people that still change their motor oil and where the what media outlets they look at.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think that social media is the best for, you know, the guy that changes his motor oil, you know, on his ranch.
Mm-hmm.
He may not
right.
be an active internet user. So we still do the physical newspaper ads and that kind of thing to try to reach them. And so as part of this campaign, everybody watches TV, so I think that that was helpful. And if you get the opportunity to look at the ads, they're actually very funny.
They are.
So,
And we still have just O'Reilly's down here.
O'Reilly's, and then Napa also accepts motor oil, and then we also have an agricultural oil tank at Corning Disposal.
Okay. Yeah. And we accept filters there as well. Didn't know Napa did. We always had to take it to O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't believe Napa does the filters; they just do the oil. But O'Reilly's does both.
Okay. O'Reilly's, we've had a problem with them being full and not taking it right there.
Yeah, and any place that changes motor oil also has to take it back, and they're supposed to offer you, I think it's about 25 cents per gallon for accepting it from you.
Yeah, well,
most of them don't offer it, but
Mike would do it. Spanish.
Yeah, we just quit changing
go to Petro or
even Corning Auto. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They send them down to Mike. They don't want to deal with oil changes.
I don't honestly, I don't know how they make money off of it. Yeah. They buy everything in bulk, so that's how they can make money off of it. But we did contribute $3,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This year, whether we do it in future years is for this board to decide. We did it this past year because we had 2 years worth of funds to spend in 1 year, and so that was the main reason why we decided to do it.
Number six. Household hazardous waste grant update.
Yes. So we're in the beginning stages of implementing the $74,391 20th cycle household hazardous waste grant that allows us to do numerous different things, but for the most part, promote the proper disposal of hazardous waste, fluorescents, and batteries. There will be radio ads promoting fluorescence batteries and household hazardous waste disposal beginning November 1st on both KVLF and KVHO. And I have the verbiage there for you. If you like, I can read it. But it basically just tells people how to dispose of those items properly. And then on page 53 of your agenda packet, yeah, the color is much better. It's really nice. So I'm really proud to say that we got the bus wrap done. That's the first step. That's not the first step because I've had to do numerous other things. I had to make sure that the battery was operating properly, and then we had to get the tires done. But I had the AB109 facility did a full look at the vehicle, and they said it's in good shape. I've been really impressed with those guys over there. They've been doing some nice work for us. So it's good to go. We just have to design the exhibits for the inside of the bus, and then we'll be able to take it to the schools. And the concept is that schools don't have money to take kids to you. They don't have bus money. Yeah. So we'll bring the field trip to them, and we'll have exhibits on the bus, and we'll probably have a reuse craft that they could do while they're waiting to get on the bus, because we won't be able to have 30 kids on the bus at one time. But kids will never ride on the bus. It's not going to be a transportation bus.
Right.
It's for tours once the bus gets to schools.
And then you put it in the Red Bluff and the Corner Parades.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't say spruced up the bus and did this, because that is a fine job.
8109 people.
Really?
People out the auto shop, mm-hmm. the sheriff in your office is running.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Uh-huh.
And you got it from Tracks?
Yeah, it was going to be, it worked out perfectly. It was going to be the bookmobile. So the library,
right. Yeah.
The friends of the library removed all of the seats on the bus for me. And then for themselves, but then the bookmobile didn't go forward. Yeah, so they were looking for somebody to give a bus to that didn't have any seats. And there wasn't many people that wanted it at that point. And so I did, and I had expressed to the chief administrator in past years my concept, and I always thought I was going to have to apply for a grant to be able to do it. And so he was like, I have the bus for you.
Yeah.
So it worked out really well. So now we have the funding for the exhibits, and we're going to get there. But I'm really excited about it once it goes forward.
Did you use that at the fair, too, instead of going inside?
You know, we had... With the REAP trailer, the initial concept of the REAP trailer was to have people go into the trailer to take a look at the materials. So we could try it for a year. We had a hard time getting people to just walk in on their own. I think with school children, they'll be introduced to it, and so they'll know that they're supposed to walk through it. But I don't know if really, we can always park it out there and see what happens for a year.
Depending on location.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So we'll see. And then the California Product Stewardship Council is working with us on this grant because of agency staffing levels. And so they are in the process of designing the signage for the hauler vehicles. So all of the green waste of Tehama vehicles will look a little bit nicer, which they're happy about. And we get to spread our message throughout the town when they're driving through the county. So it's helpful.
Cool.
Yeah, and it can be opened up to waste management trucks as well, although most of theirs are a little bit painted a little bit nicer.
Yeah, they are.
Item 7, outreach update.
Okay, so I think, is this the last agenda item?
No, I have 8.
Oh, okay, so I have one more. Okay. So the following outreach was conducted in July, August, and September. On packet page 56 is the A to Z recycling guide that we updated. This used to be in the AT&T Green Pages each year, but they limited us to 4 pages, so now we're putting it online and then bringing it to different events that we're attending. It's unfortunate that there's not a paper copy in the Green Pages any longer, but it's just not an option. It's not even a choice for us. But it does.
Is that something that should be on the new 211?
Yes. So I did, based on your suggestion, I did link us up with 211, so we're good to go.
Okay, great.
I don't know if I put that in the agenda, but I did do that. And we're also now advertising in the Parker, the Red Bluff High School newspaper. Los Molinos High and Corning High do not have student newspapers. So we conducted outreach during numerous farmers markets events as listed on the second bullet point. We are advertising the Lake California POA newsletter allows us to write a newsletter each month, so we're continuing to do that each month. And we use that same newsletter as part of our e-blast, so we're able to do 2 things with one stone.
And does that go to Rattler and RTR also?
And then we sent out our educators e-newsletter to district personnel for dispersal to staff, and that is, I believe, did I provide a copy of that in the packet? Yes, that's on packet page 69. It looks much better in color. And that is in your agenda packet, and it basically informs teachers and school personnel about mandatory commercial recycling, our curriculum, and waste reduction and recycling presentation, and what's recyclable at schools. So it's a nice little quick newsletter to inform people. We sent out another press release about our free large venue event recycling program. And it was published on August 22nd, and afterwards we quickly received 3 inquiries for upcoming events. And then I also had dropped off household hazardous waste calendars based on one of your suggestions to all auto parts stores. Was it yours in Corning?
Thanks, yeah.
Yeah, so that was done as well. And then we updated our construction and demolition recycling brochure and distributed it to local planning and building departments, informing them about the Green Building Code recycling requirement. And then we also provided outreach at the fair, and we utilized Larry Sweetser from RCRC Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority to assist me in outreach because of staffing levels. Anything else?
No. Item 8, final item, Smart Business Alliance quarterly update.
Mm-hmm. So we have one new SBA partner, that's the Lake California POA. And they will be implementing a recycling program here shortly. They're currently reviewing the recycling options. I met with them a few weeks ago. They actually have quite a bit of service up there for the POA. All of the residents up there have blue rollout recycling cart service automatically, but the POA itself was not recycling. And they have, you know, loading docks. They have their wharf, they have the POA, they have meeting rooms, they have the horse arena, they have many different avenues. I think they have 24 cubic yards of waste being picked up each week. So we're going to be able to cut them down. They're going to be starting to, they're actually, instead of paying for disposal for their horse manure, they're going to get paid for it. And then they're also going to be reducing the amount of waste that they're sending for disposal by recycling by anywhere from 6 to 12 cubic yards right off the bat. So we did a waste assessment, and they're pretty excited about that.
Are they going to, on their horse waste, are they going to compost that?
They're not composting it. They're just giving it to farmers, and they've actually received some offers to get paid for it. And their deal is that the farmer or rancher has to haul it out themselves. So from what I was told, they'll have it in a pile for them, and then they just have to find a way to get it into their own trailers and trucks to get rid of it. Before, they were having to shovel it into a dumpster.
Yeah.
So it's actually easier for them to just place it in a pile. So all around, it's a good thing for them.
Huh.
So we have 9 partners. So far, we have Sears Home Store in Red Bluff, Poor and the Homeless, the Sale House, Cabernet Apartments, which was a huge success because they were resisting recycling before we implemented this program. And there's over, I want to say, 260 units. It's a huge complex.
Yeah.
Bud's Jolly Cone, Masami Cattle Ranch, which is on the way to Rancho Tehama.
Yeah, that's great.
Wholesome Goods, who's now at the silver level, so they were at the bronze, so they've actually gone up a step by implementing more programs. And then Green Waste of Tehama, the hauling operations side, is at a gold level, and Valley Vet Clinic is at the silver level.
Wow.
So I'm really proud of the success of this voluntary program, and I hope that it continues to gain momentum as more and more people hear about it. And so we'll be advertising these partners in the local papers as well as in the chamber newsletters to give them some positive promotion.
Good.
And it's all grant funded, so the advertising and the promotion that we do. That's all I have.
All right, is there anything else that should come before the board? If not, we adjourn at 6:52.
Thank you.